Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And some tragic news that we heard. Two mothers who were volunteers and part of Mothers Against Senseless Killings, or MASC, were gunned down last Friday. And the founder of MASC, Tamar Manassa, is on the line with us. Tamar, first of all, my condolences to you.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. It's so great to talk to you guys again. I missed you.
We missed you, too. We were thinking, and I hate to have you on for this particular reason, but you have worked so hard to get people out there and make this a safer neighborhood. What the heck is happening?
You know what? I'm not clear. And it seems to be, you know, I've learned a lot in the past few days about what happens in the city and the way things get done. And I want to make sure that people understand MASC. We try to make it as easy as possible. You don't need a membership. You don't need to pay dues, because if you have to pay dues, a lot of people can't afford those. So if you show up, you have kids, you bring your kids to eat, to come and play or whatever, then you're a MASC mom. If you help look out for other people's kids when your kids are playing, you're a MASC mom. That's it. And it seems that there's a lot of ado being made about whether or not these mothers were MASC mothers. Let's completely remove MASC from the equation, okay? These women, there are still two women who are dead right now, right? There was another woman who was shot last month on the corner just across the street. Mothers still sit on a corner every single day. There are still murderers at large. We don't know who they are. We're afraid. So we took up a collection for reward money to apprehend whoever it is who murdered these two mothers. Whether they were MASC mothers, whether they weren't MASC mothers, it does not matter. They are still no longer with us because someone took their lives. So what exactly is the important part here? Is it more important if they were MASC members or not? Or is it more important that these mothers are gone and someone took their lives and we need to be concerned about murderers being just out on the loose?
Let's mention their names. Chantel Grant, 26 years old, leaves behind how many kids?
Four.
God. And Andrea, is it Stoudemire?
Stoudemire, yeah.
36 years old. How many kids does she leave behind?
Three.
And she's just out there. These two women are out there to protect their children and other people's children.
They were walking to the store. It was about 9:30, and they were walking to the store. And I mean, these are women that we see every day, every single day, every day. And it's kind of like, if, you know, people can say, you know, if they weren't MASC moms, they shouldn't have been out. They shouldn't have been out in that neighborhood at that time. Shouldn't women be able to be out at any time they want to be out in their neighborhood?
100%.
And not risk being murdered?
Yep.
Tamar.
Wherever, if you're in Lincoln Park, or if you're in Hyde Park, or if you're in Englewood, any woman should be able to do that. We should feel like we are safe enough to do that in our city.
Tamar, this is one of the stories that's come across where they talk about a zone that they call a no-gang zone, and that these women were apparently in this no-gang zone. How do they decide what is and isn't a gang zone or a non-gang zone?
I don't know. I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what a no-gang zone is. Who said something about that? I have no idea what a no-gang zone is. Anywhere where there are poor people on top of poor people, and unemployment, and no schools, and no opportunities, and food deserts, and homelessness, and helplessness, and hopelessness, you're going to find gangs. So when you start creating jobs, and you start changing the economic reality of the people that live in these neighborhoods, then you'll have no-gang zones. But until then, I don't know what that is. Because anywhere where there are poor people, there are gangs. It's just as simple as that. Because people have to survive. The circumstances are what creates gangs. The circumstances in which people live creates gangs. That's what creates it. You change people's circumstances, you eliminate gangs. You eliminate violence. That's why when we started to address food insecurity, when we started trying to help people get jobs and get GEDs and do this and do that, that's why crime subsided over there. That's why violent crime went down. Because we were addressing the needs of the people in the neighborhood.
You need hope. And there is a lack of hope. And that's a huge problem. And you've been working so hard on this since 2015. Is that the first summer you got everybody together?
Yeah. And it was the death of a mother that brought us to that corner, Lucille Barnes. And I just couldn't let it be the death of another mother, of two more mothers that chased us away. We're building a school out of shipping containers on that corner.
Why are you doing this? Why are you not getting help? You know, Mayor Lightfoot, I have seen on your Facebook page that you've reached out to her, Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. What are they going to help you?
I wouldn't know. No one's ever responded. I'm not counting on anyone to help us do anything. I'm not going to count on that because the people in our neighborhoods need us. When you closed down all of the CPS public high schools in Inglewood, it created a vacuum. What did you think that was going to do? There are all these kids coming out of eighth grade in these different out of these different elementary schools in the neighborhood that you just removed all the high schools from. Where did you think those kids were going to go? Other schools outside of their particular gang boundaries, because they just had bus fare to do that. And they felt like risking their lives to go to these schools. Did anybody think about these things? They did not before they closed all these schools. They didn't think about that. Tonight, just this evening, our grand opening is happening. We're opening a restaurant in Beverly. And the restaurant, we will actually be trying to hire young people from different neighborhoods or people in general who need a second chance from neighborhoods like Inglewood to come and work there, to help them get job skills, to teach them, you know, yeah, this is what you do when you want a job, to make them more employable, you know. And then after a certain time, we help them get permanent placement elsewhere if we can't keep them.
What's the name of this place?
It's called Piece of Pizza, peace, like peace sign, because we're creating peace one slice at a time. And the thing about it is 20% of the proceeds go back to the block every month, go back to funding our activities on the block. So we aren't waiting on anybody to help us. We're trying to do this ourselves.
And you talk about the activities that you do on your block and you've been doing for the last 4 years. Talk about some of these activities so other people can hear what you've done and what the money goes for. Pizza parties, barbecues, hugs, free hugs.
I mean, we cook every day. We cook 7 days a week. And we don't cook because the people are homeless, but it's because it is a food desert. And it's because it is a ton of food insecurity. And food creates peace. While you're waiting on a piece of chicken to get done, we're going to stand around the barbecue grill and we're going to talk. And you're going to get to know me and I'm going to get to know you and we're going to have dinner together. And people don't shoot people that they have dinner with, unless it's Thanksgiving, of course. I mean, it happens in some families.
Right.
But you get what I'm saying. People don't shoot people that they become family with, that they bond with. And it's all about us creating community or around a barbecue grill, around a plate of food. That's what we do. There are so many different cultures where food is center to their culture. Everything is centered around food. If you can fix anything with a good meal. The first thing you do when you welcome someone into your home, are you hungry? Can I get you anything to eat, anything to drink? It's hospitality. That's how you show your love and your respect for people. And that's what we've been doing every day in the summer for all of these summers. And that's what helped us kind of curb the violence.
Tamar, can I bring Eddie Johnson's name back in for just a second? During our crosstalk with Steve Cochran, who does the morning show, he mentioned that Eddie Johnson will be a guest on his show tomorrow. We said we were having you on today, and he said, ask Tamar if you had one question for Eddie Johnson, what would that question be?
Oh, wow. That's deep.
We can take a break and give you a moment to think about
better?
It.
Let me think about it.
All right, let's do that. We'll take a quick break. Tamar Manasseh is our guest from MASK. She's the founder of MASK, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. We're talking about the horrible incident that cost two mothers their lives here in Chicago the other day. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Tamar Manasseh. She's the founder of MASK, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. We're talking about the tragic deaths of two Chicago mothers just the other day, two young mothers who lost their lives. Before the break, Tamar, I asked you a question from Steve Cochran, our morning show host. He's going to have Eddie Johnson on, superintendent of police here in Chicago. What would your one question be? If you could ask Eddie one question, what would it be?
First of all, I think I should be able to ask Eddie far more than one question, but that's okay. I'll settle for this one
time. That's fair.
You know, I think we always hear about how the community doesn't do enough to help, right? Help the police find these people. We don't say anything. So MASK started a reward fund for information leading to, you know, the arrest and the conviction of whoever, you know, committed this heinous crime, right? Mm-hmm. So that was us doing our part to help CPD and the city help us. We're going to help loosen some lips, and now maybe you'll get some tips, and then you'll be able to make some arrests that will actually keep us safer, that will actually save some lives. Will that work? What else can we do other than speaking up and speaking out and literally paying people to come forth and say something, giving them a cash incentive to come forth and say something? What else can we do to help you help us? What else can we do to help you save us? How do we help you to stop us from getting killed? How do we do it? How do we do it? What else can we do?
The GoFundMe page you speak of, offering a $5,000 reward for arrest and conviction of the murderers of these two moms, Chantel Grant and Andrea Stoudemire, GoFundMe.com/StandAgainstFear. Your goal was $5,000. You're now up to $17,042 right now.
In 2 days.
Okay, but
in 2 days.
If you can do this and you... I mean, basically, this neighborhood has been pretty safe for the last 4 years. If you can do this and organize people, why can't this be done in a broader area all over?
That is a great question. Put that down as question two for Eddie Johnson. That was a great question, Wendy. I can't tell you why it can't be done. I can't. It has to be important. It has to be important. You know what needed to be important about this? It has to be important that Andrea and Chantel were both mothers. Because if this story would have been told a different way, it could have just been two women that were shot because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They were around the wrong people, and they made the wrong decisions. And this is what happens when you're around those kind of people in that kind of neighborhood.
Why are they shooting mothers? I mean, I got to tell you, you know, you hear of people in gangs shooting other gang members. Why two innocent women?
I don't know. It's actually three, because another woman was shot less than a month ago, just across the street. So I don't know. The from what I understand, CPD is saying, hey, women and mothers are not being targeted. But yet women and mothers are the ones that are being shot. So how am I supposed to look at this on a corner where women sit every day? I have to do something to protect myself. I have to do something to protect my volunteers. I have to do something to protect the kids that play there, to protect their childhoods, to protect their lives, their summers, their futures. I have to protect that. And the only way that we can do that is say, hey, we have $17,000 now. And this is for anybody who has information. We just need you to say something to the police. But we need the police to do their part, because we're trying our best to do ours. We're doing everything we can, because we understand it's not a matter of if they're going to do this again. It's a matter of when. If two women have already been shot on those, three women have already been shot on those corners, then it's not a matter of if, it's just when. And I don't want to be there when it happens again. I don't want any woman to be there. I don't want anyone to be there. I don't want it to happen again. So we're doing everything we can to keep it from happening again. We just need help. That's all. And it's not like we're not willing to help us, help ourselves. This is us helping the police help us. That's what this is.
They should be thanking you for that. I'm not kidding. And you know, you've been up on our show several times, Tamar, and, you know, part of me wants to, you know, and I've talked to you, oh, I want to come out and I want to help, but I have to be 100% honest with you. I'm scared to do it. Are there other mothers in your area that are afraid to get
sure.
on?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a decrease since the last mother got shot in people coming out and children being out. And you know what? I cannot blame them. I can't blame them. And I mean, my own family is sometimes like, hey, why are you going out there? Because we're building a school. Because people expect for us to be there. Because people believe that we're going to be there. Because we've committed to being there. We've committed to this. We've been doing all this for all these years. We're building a school. We've struggled so hard to get these lots. We've been doing all of this work, and we're just going to let all of that go. We're going to break all of those relationships because of fear, because we're afraid of being killed. We can't do the good things that we want to do in this city because we're afraid.
I can't even imagine that. I got to be honest with you. Kids just walking down the street, moms going to the store, with freedom, without the fear of being shot. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, it is something. And it's just like, I don't think it feels to me like people in neighborhoods like that, women in neighborhoods like that, are literally killed for being poor. For being poor, for living in poor neighborhoods and around other poor people. And then it's like, okay, well, it's their fault. They shouldn't have been there. It was the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe that's the only place they can be. And
it's
they got murdered for it.
Tamar, I don't want to make this a political discussion because there's so many different layers to what went on with these ladies' deaths. But I'm curious as to your thoughts when you hear the president talk about impoverished communities as being rat and rodent infested. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that someone who has opinions like that about communities in a country that he governs, that he is the leader of, I don't think that someone like that should be the leader of a country like that. They shouldn't be a leader. That's not something that leaders say. That doesn't exactly, you know, instill a sense of confidence and care in anybody when they hear that this is how the president of the United States thinks about where they live and who the people in those communities are. And it's kind of like when people say stuff like that, I mean, the only place that's honestly, literally right now infested with rats and rodents is the White House. That's it. That's how I feel when I feel him say things like that about Inglewood and about the South Side of Chicago. How dare you?
Yeah.
Tamar Manassa is on the line with us, founder of Mothers Against Senseless Killings. MASK, you can go to ontheblock.org to find out more information. Give us more details on this pizza place and the story behind that so we can help support that as well. And then we'll talk about the GoFundMe again.
Well, I'm so excited about the pizza place. Father Greg Boyle from Homeboy Industries in L.A. kind of inspired us. We had to do something to come up with, you know, something that would give us some more income because we're building a school. Didn't know schools were that expensive, but they are. So we had to figure out another way to kind of generate a bit more income. So we figured, you know, unemployment is a problem. And we don't have any money, so how do we, you know, kind of kill two birds with one stone? So we figured we'd start one of these companies like Father Boyle did with Homeboy Industries. And so it was just kind of like by chance. I'm driving down 95th Street in Beverly, and there's the old Bella's Pizza restaurant that's gone out of business. And so I'm like, this would be a perfect place, and it would be perfect because if you want to hire young people or people in general from, you know, areas around the city like Inglewood, like Roseland, like Lawndale, you want to hire people from places like that where there are gang problems, where there are gang boundaries. You want to definitely open up shop in a neighborhood that's neutral, where they don't have those kind of issues, where people aren't afraid to come to, and people aren't afraid, you know, to show up for work. So it was perfect. Beverly is perfect for that. So then when I got there, it was so amazing how warm the people of Beverly are. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, the only gripe I have is most of them are Sox fans, but never mind that. I'm not going to hold that against
them. That's fair.
Right. Not going to hold it against them. But they are the most wonderful people. We have gotten the most wonderful reception. We have gotten so much help. Everybody has been so warm and so friendly. And when we had problems with Metro, when they closed us down for 9 days because they were doing construction, the people in the neighborhood rallied and they bought all these gift certificates and everything just to help us get more inventory to get us to today, to the grand opening, just so we wouldn't go under. That's what the people of Beverly did for us. It was amazing.
What's the name of the place?
It's called Piece of Pizza.
Okay.
P-E-A-C-E of Pizza, because it's the slogan is Eat a Slice, Save a Life. I love that.
That is great. And GoFundMe.com, look for Stand Against Fear. She's Tamar Manassa. You're building a school. You're feeding the community. You're giving hope to your community. And you're pretty much doing this all by yourself and a whole group of volunteers. We need to bring this to more neighborhoods.
Let's try. Let's do what we can. Let's do it.
We're thinking of you.
I'm in for it. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamar. Really appreciate it. Tamar Manassa, the founder of MASK, Mothers Against Senseless Killings.
You can go to their Facebook page, Mask on the Block. They're on Twitter. Just look for it, Mask, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. You can also go to ontheblock.org.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.